Hey, it's John Engle, and I'm excited to share that registration is now live for Grid Tech Connect Forum California. Join us in Newport Beach, June 24th through the 26th for the Interconnection event. We're bringing together utilities, developers, regulators, and advocates to take on one of the biggest challenges facing the energy transition, both at the DG and utility scale levels. Click the link in the episode description and use promo code PODCAST to save 10% on admission. Join our partners from the Department of Energy, NREL, Southern California Edison, PG&E, CAISO, Sunrun, NG, Convergent, AES, and so many more for this impactful event. We'll see you there.
In a shocking turn of events late in the afternoon on July 27th, Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia announced that he'd reached a deal with Majority Leader Chuck Schumer on a budget reconciliation package that includes $369 billion for clean energy and climate change. We all saw that coming, right? I'm John Engle, Content Director for Renewable Energy World. This is Factor This. To help us understand this huge clean energy news and what comes next, we're joining you for an extra episode outside of our normal format with Jose Zayas, Executive Vice President of Policy and Programs at the American Council on Renewable Energy. Hey, Jose, how's it going?
It's going well. Thank you, John. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, of course. So take me back, I guess, when we're recording this about, 12 hours earlier, a little more, to your reaction. What were you doing and how did you get the news of the quote-unquote Manchin makes a deal?
Well, John, it's been a long night. As you can imagine, we're quite excited that this came through, and the team's been working really hard through the night to really try to understand all of the key pieces that are here in this bill to try to assess, the value that it will bring to these industries that we think are incredibly important for our nation. So it's been a long evening, but it's been an exciting one. A lot of really good points that are made and preserved that we're really happy about. It's definitely, as we've stated in our public statement, it's not perfect, but we will take it. It's been long overdue. And as you well captured 12 hours ago, we weren't even sure if anything would come out. So it's definitely a positive sign.
Yeah. I mean, the general tone and tenor of the clean energy space has been kind of doom and gloom over the last few weeks. I mean, we didn't just have this bill killed once. I mean, this is kind of the third life of what was formerly known as Build Back Better. Now, the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022, a title that was even seemed to be crafted to appease Manchin and whatever kind of message he intends to sell to the American public. But before we get into some of those issues that ACOR has been working on, and you say, good, not perfect, we'll get to that in a second. But high level, we have extensions of the ITC and PTC for projects. So wind, solar, geothermal, the residential extension to 30% is there. The commercial extension for utility scale is there up to 30%. I think they're add-ons from 6% with rewards for local content, local workforce, all those sorts of things. And then a big one, we have a new ITC for standalone energy storage, a huge push from the clean energy space to get rewarded for building projects that are not necessarily coupled with solar and wind, because we know that it doesn't always make sense to build both. So I'm sure that our storage folks are over the moon about that. We have credits for domestic solar manufacturing that we have talked about at length on this podcast, the same provisions that were included in the Solar Energy Manufacturing for America Act from Senator John Ossoff of Georgia for the entire value chain of solar, which is great news, from cell, wafer, polysilicon, components, balance of systems, you name it. That's huge news that domestic solar made it into that. It was great that President Biden paused tariffs for 2 years and invoked Domestic Production Act. But this was the big one that the industry said we need to catch up to China, or at least try to get into a place where we compete. We've got credits for new and used EVs. That's a new one. So $4,000 for used EVs, in addition to the $7,500 for new. And we've got a new clean hydrogen production credit. So that is not everything. This is like I think it's like a 700-page bill. But that's the high level to me. Did I miss anything, Jose?
No, listen, you did a great recap. I would just say a couple of things that I may want to add here. Number one is, that the manufacturing credit also applies to facilities, not only the components. You mentioned the component piece, but I think the extension of the 48C credits for the advanced energy projects is kind of key and gives that clarity and that surety that I think the industry is also seeking. Although one of the things that's missing, I would say a little bit more pronouncedly than others, is the transmission credit, which we were very supportive, as you well know, for all these renewable energy projects. You really need to make sure that you get all this clean electricity to the big load centers. So transmission for us is key. Although there isn't a specific transmission ITC, there is $2 billion for direct loans for construction and modifications of transmission, which I think is great. It's definitely a step in the right direction to create that awareness and that acknowledgement to those enabling pieces like transmission. You mentioned the standalone energy storage, which applies to various technologies. I think that's the right need for the nation as well to complement the renewable energy growth that we believe is needed as we continue to decarbonize. So I think those pieces are all critical. The only one missing, as I alluded to, was really around the transmission ITC. But again, like I said in the beginning, this is not perfect, but a huge step in the right direction.
Well, and maybe something that can come later. To capture everything at once can be really difficult. And you always hear about, you know, perfect being enemy of good. It is funny that this episode is preceding the one that we had planned on FERC's interconnection reform plan, and also, you know, dabbled in some transmission talk there. So these things all kind of move in lockstep with each other, and hopefully maybe, you know, FERC can drive the bus a little bit on policy at the federal regulatory level to maybe have some incentives follow on the back end. You know, you're close to all of these conversations and have been pushing for these provisions for a long time. What do you think changed? This is as I said, you know, multi-hundred page bill. It did not get crafted overnight.
No, absolutely. 725,
I believe. What's at play? What's at play here? Was it, you know, we've got some conspiracy thinkers out there that are saying, you know, we just needed to get the CHIPS Act through for the semiconductor industry, and then we could move on to climate, and that opened the door. Is this an example of beautiful politicking, or just that we have no idea where Senator Manchin is going to align on any given day?
Well, listen, it's an interesting question. It's a great question. As a matter of fact, you know, when we heard a few weeks ago, of course, that this was not going to move forward this fiscal year, we never gave up at ACOR and many other organization either. We definitely believe that although the time was limited, especially with the upcoming August recess starting next week, that it was still important to continue to push forward and try to create something like this. And we're thankful. I know that Senator Manchin mentioned that this was definitely not going to be part of the discussion a couple of weeks ago. He left an opening that he was open to continue to have this discussion. And we're just thankful that it happened last night. As you alluded to, this is not a small bill. This definitely did not get written in the last 2 weeks, 725 pages, I believe, that we've been reviewing feverishly over the last 12 hours or so. But and the administration has been clear. John's the other thing, that this is a key priority for the country, for the administration. And again, we're just thankful. I don't want to call it politicking or if it was a racking and stacking and priorities of how this all was going to be laid out. We're just thankful that we're here.
So then, you know, I was describing to some of my international colleagues who I was just on a call with before we jumped into this interview. They said, what's the reaction to this news in the States? It's obviously a huge deal. I said, you know, joy, anxiety, apprehension, you know, so no one wants to look like the dummy after this thing. No one wants to say we did it, overcame all odds, Build Back Better, whatever you want to call it, is here and it's not dead. But there are trust issues, and there is some PTSD associated with this piece of legislation. Sure. And there is also a senator from Arizona who has not weighed in. Does that give you pause on maybe the speed of the victory lap, or at least, you know, like, what are you guys saying internally about making sure this gets across the finish line?
Yeah, our job's not done, John. And I would just say a couple of things just to kind of walk us through a little bit of history, right? These industries have been living in a world of extenders for a while now. We know what although very thankful, and I think these industries have done incredibly well given the circumstance, uncertainty is always challenging. It's challenging for a lot of the points that you've discussed here from manufacturing. How does a company decide if it really is going to allocate large amount of capital for a new factory, independent of how competitive we may be in a particular part of the sector? So we always felt that even through the Build Back Better and the journey that you alluded to that has been going on through most of 2022, that surety and clarity was key. And I think this bill really at least provides a long step in the right direction. You're absolutely right that we're not done. It still has to go through a lot of reviews before it gets to the president's desk. And I know that a lot of people over the last 12 hours have been really scavenging through the document to ensure that they understand what's in here, what's not in here, what was left out, and so forth. But I think overall, a theme that comes to mind to complement the words that you have and making some assumption that this will move forward in some way, shape, or form as it is depicted today, last night rather, is clarity and surety that is much needed. The 1 year stops and starts in some cases, plus not having key provisions like the energy storage, which we all deem is needed, clarity on EVs. This goes a long way. And it definitely is not perfect, but I'll take it.
The Control F and Command F, if you're on a Mac, is going wild this morning and last night. Oh, I know, yeah. I did it a ton.
Absolutely.
What's the work now? Like, what is your team huddling about? And I mean, I don't want you to give away too much of the game plan, but would like to know how you guys are framing your next, you know, few weeks and the approach from the advocacy front to make sure that this thing keeps going and doesn't hit those snags that it had in the past.
Well,
where's the bulk of the effort?
Well, the next few hours is really trying to understand all the details. It's a big document, as you started. There are a lot of nuances that we need to understand and appreciate before we have what I would call a comprehensive review. As you alluded to, Control F has been a common key that's been used because we're trying to look for those keywords that really allow us to at least get a good macro lens of what's all in here and what was left out. We've discussed a lot of the highlights, and I think as a whole, not to be repetitive, but repetitive is important. I think we feel good about it. The work's not done. The work's not done in the next couple of weeks of how we ensure that many of these elements, as it goes through its reviews and the different facets, stay intact. Where there is lack of clarity, seek that clarity. And where there is omission, as I alluded to earlier, transmission, ITC, our work won't stop. If it's a next year effort, or a next month effort, is kind of hard, but we won't stop because we think that's critical. So it's an all hands on deck moment. We got to appreciate what we know and really call this at least a huge step in the right direction. But the work's not done. Absolutely not.
It takes a lot to get a piece of legislation like this across the finish line too. So there is give and take.
It's long overdue.
So you start. Yeah. And but you also start to wonder a little bit what the give was, maybe from Majority Leader Schumer's side. Has that stuck out yet, or is it too early to know what kind of, you know, pushed Manchin over the finish line? I know there's, you know, some talk about, you know, drilling, permitting, streamlining permitting for drilling and some carbon capture stuff in there that maybe some of the enviros didn't love. But anything that you saw yet?
Yeah, John, it's a great question. We haven't really drilled into that. We've, of course, our ground truth has been our key points that we think are important, many of which were in the Build Back Better, and really try to understand the differences between what's here versus not. We knew that changes have been happening throughout the entire few months of 2022, but just tracking it and trying to get a ground truth has been the focus. In terms of the global gives, in terms of what got this done versus what is coming or what deals were made behind the scenes, we haven't had a chance to really focus on this. Our focus has been squarely on what's here. How does it apply to the industries that we serve and the members' priorities that we support and believe are critical? And that's been the focus right now. I think the next few weeks, many of those things that you alluded to would come out, and that'll be something that we'll have to focus on then. But at this time, squarely focused, John, on what's here, what's not here, and what do we do about all those pieces?
I like ACOR, and I like getting analysis from you guys because you are so in touch with not just the developers and regulators and policymakers, but also on the buyer side with our big energy buyers. How do you think this is going to be perceived in the commercial markets going forward? Is this not only certainty to our developers and our manufacturers, but also a clean energy buyer who has been credited with driving the bus on this transition for the last 10 years, but it was starting to get a little rocky and markets were getting a little uncertain because of all the headwinds that are out there?
Yeah, and the buyers have had a lot of concerns, not only with everything you said, but some of the other things that have been going out throughout the year with solar and the tariffs and the uncertainty and where the products were coming from and was there going to be enough supply to meet the demand, to meet whatever internal objectives each one of them may have. So it's been a rough year, I think, from the perspective of certainty, from the perspective of, and that applies to everything, supply. You know, what's going to happen to the legislation around tax reform and so forth. So it's been a tough year. So I think for the buyer perspective, this is a win, especially if you start looking at some of those key elements where you started around manufacturing. What could imagine that as a byproduct of some of this legislation coupled with some of the executive actions on the Defense Protection Act and so forth for solar and solar components as an example, that at least now we have the beginnings of clarity by having a 10-year time window to the ITC and PTC being proposed, as well as manufacturing credits, which should provide certainty on the supply, more certainty, I would say, on the supply side. I think everything from the buyer side, this should be a huge win. So we feel good about both of those pieces. And of course, we're quite close with that sector and understand and appreciate their concerns to meet not only their demands, but again, some of the key actions that they want to accomplish.
Jose Zayas, Acor, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having us, John. Appreciate it.
I'm John Engel from Renewable Energy World, and you've been listening to a bonus episode of Factor This. A big thanks to Jose Zayas and Acor for helping us jump on this big news of the day. You can find our full coverage of the budget reconciliation deal and the clean energy provisions inside that agreement at renewableenergyworld.com. We'll be back on Monday with our regular schedule for Factor This, which is now week to week, just so you remember to join us every Monday. We'll be talking about the FERC interconnection noteper and some important do's and don'ts for renewable energy developers moving forward. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on Factor This.
Hey, it's John Engel, and I'm excited to share that registration is now live for Grid Tech Connect Forum California. Join us in Newport Beach, June 24th through the 26th for the Interconnection event. We're bringing together utilities, developers, regulators, and advocates to take on one of the biggest challenges facing the energy transition, both at the DG and utility scale levels. Click the link in the episode description and use promo code PODCAST to save 10% on admission. Join our partners from the Department of Energy, NREL, Southern California Edison, PG&E, CAISO, Sunrun, NG, Convergent, AES, and so many more for this impactful event. We'll see you there.